This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, this is episode 230 of the USEA podcast, and I'm Chris Stafford. And on the show this week, we're going to discuss the new show jumping time penalties rule, which now matches cross-country with 0.4 time penalties added for every second over the time allowed, instead of the one time penalty for every second over the time allowed. First of all, we'll hear from show jumping course designer Mark Donovan, and then later on in the program, we'll get the thoughts from Doug Payne, who has ridden a few tracks this year where the time allowed has been extended. So we'll get his thoughts on the new rule just a little bit later on in the program. But we begin with Mark Donovan. Hi, Mark. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Chris. Very nice to talk to you again.
Well, we are going to probe into the new time penalty rule, the new show jumping time penalties that will now match cross country. No better man to talk us through this and the implications of it. So just to explain, it's now 0.5 time penalties added for every second over the time allowed, Mark, instead of the 1.0, isn't it?
That's correct. And that is following the FEI rules, which have also changed to that system. So my guess is in trying to keep consistency throughout, we've adopted those rules as well.
So obviously a lot of people have thought about this and come up with the conclusion as to why it should be changed. But let's talk about the implications for you as a course designer, and then really for the, you know, what we're trying to get out of those the horse and rider combinations, how we're trying to get them to think now about show jumping.
Well, as a course designer, of course, I hope that the 1 point penalty would stay in effect, because I feel that it makes for a more exciting class. Certainly as a rider, if you are, the more accomplished you are and the more quality you have in your horse and the more ability you have in your horse, the more you wish that everything was a factor and everything was tightened down so that those kinds of points count. It remains to be seen, I think, what the overall result really will be. And if we're happy as a community with new point system, it all depends on how it factors into the dressage. You know, if the scores are close, you get a more effect from the smaller penalties in show jumping. If the scores are far apart, you know, it's not as big a factor. So it really depends on what we're looking to achieve here. To me, the ultimate goal is always to focus on what's in the best interest of the horse and what's, you know, what covers the horse's, the most protection for the horse's well-being. And a lot of minds go into these decisions. And, you know, especially with rule changes. So you have to think that a lot of thought has been put into this. And maybe we are at the point where we've mastered going fast and jumping high, because a lot of the top event riders today are very good at doing that. And maybe the thinking is it's time to slow down a little bit and make that not so critical and really focus on form and style in jumping.
And we often see now more event riders going to pure show jumping coaches for help. So maybe this is in the direction, in keeping with those tighter time penalties, then, that we're looking at, to your point about form and, you know, balance and rhythm and those sort of things, rather than, you know, just racing around against the clock.
Could be, yes. And in American show jumping, or show jumping in the U.S., it is still 1 point per second, which is different from eventing. But there, everyone is starting at zero, right? So you're looking for points to separate out everyone who's at zero. So you really need a tougher scale or, a bigger impact from the penalties. So 1 point per second seems to make sense. 4 points for a pull down, it knocks people up and down within the scale, and you're looking for a winner. In eventing, you're coming in with a penalty score already, and the show jumping is only 1/3 of the competition, so you're really not looking to knock someone completely out. The faults just should have less impact on the overall score is what I'm guessing the thinking is behind that.
Have you seen any evidence of this so far in your course designing this year, Mark?
Well, I do listen to people on the sidelines, and you hear people talk. Certainly, the better you ride, the more you hope the penalties have a bigger impact on the outcome. If you have a great horse that can jump high and go fast, you want those penalties to accrue for other people. And certainly if you have a slow horse that can jump high, but really is not as efficient in the turns, or maybe you as a rider are not as good at negotiating courses and finding little loopholes and tighter turns, and you worked hard on your dressage test and you had a phenomenal cross-country round, you don't want to lose first place because of, being 1 second over the time allowed. But you do see the event riders today really mastering how to negotiate a course. And they have really learned to ride fast and efficiently. And they've got great trainers today, and they're just teaching them all the little details of mastering the course. So when it comes down to it, you have a set time and a set speed for the class, and you hear people say, is the time tight or is the time loose? And should that really be a subjective thing? So what I'm saying is, like, take the advanced level, for instance, at 375 meters per minute. Are we really watching them ride 375 meters per minute, or have they gotten so good at that they're actually faster, and so we're adjusting the time allowed to accommodate this special talented horse, and we're really expecting them to ride at 400 meters per minute? It's a good question, and it's something to think about, because we could be changing the whole scale, not meaning to.
Talk through the process of course designing and setting the time allowed for those who are not familiar with it, Mark.
Well, you measure your course in meters, and of course there's differences in, there's human error, and there's differences in what people feel should be the track. You try to measure your track for the average horse. You don't make super tight turns. You don't go way out to the rail and waste time. You try to measure an efficient track in meters. And then the speed is set in the rule book for the level. So it's just a mathematical formula that you come up with for the time allowed. So really, it shouldn't be that subjective, but it turns out that it is, because the juries are allowed to adjust the time allowed if they feel that it's been grossly mismeasured. But my question is, are we adjusting the time allowed because they're really going at the correct speed and it's been mismeasured, or are all the horses, or maybe most of the horses, good enough that they're actually going faster, and they can get around the course going a faster speed than is really required. And in order to make the class interesting, we're reducing the time allowed to make a more exciting class. And is that the right thing to do for the horse is the real question.
So when you're setting a course now, how does this new rule influence you?
I can only do my job, which is figuring out a good course, building a good course, and measuring it to the best of my ability. So I wouldn't change the way I measure it, because I feel that the way I measure a course is for the average horse, and that's truly, in all honesty, the way that it should be done.
Fair enough. And I think that's helped us understand, actually, from a course designer's point of view, Mark, you know, how the courses are set and how the riders are preparing for this with, you know, and we'll be talking to a rider shortly about this, because getting their reaction now to those, just a subtle change in the time penalties from 1.0 to 0.4 for every second over the time allowed. So Mark, thank you as always for taking the time to come on the show. Always good to talk to you, and we'll see you out there shortly.
Absolutely. Thank you, and always nice to talk to you, Chris.
And now, with just a few days to go before the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event, I caught up with Doug Payne, who was honing his show jumping skills at a show in Aiken. Hi, Doug. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
This time, we're going to be talking about the new time penalty in show jumping. Now, from a rider's perspective, I know I've caught you at a show. You do a lot of pure show jumping to fine-tune your game, so you'd be the perfect person to unwrap this for me. First of all, what was your impressions to the rule of this, of changing the rule?
From my understanding, Equa Ratings actually played a pretty big role, and they deemed, or the FEI deemed, that show jumping was playing an undue or you know, ultimately too much influence in the overall score. So by reducing the time penalty amount from 1 to 0.4 per second, it would just reduce the impact that show jumping has over the overall competition.
And what is your thoughts about that?
You know, I'm a bit conflicted on it. I think there has been maybe it did swing a bit too much in the last couple of years, being that the time allowed were tight, and obviously the penalty for being slow was more than it is today. My personal opinion is the way I almost feel like it's swinging too much the other way at the moment. We've reduced the impact of the time penalties, and it also seems to me, and this is purely anecdotal, but it seems that the judges, at least this spring, have been pretty quick to raise the time allowed, reducing the impact altogether. And I think in the end, show jumping without any urgency is a whole lot easier to perfect than when you've got to keep coming a little bit. And, you know, I think it's another aspect of the sport that is important. And as it's morphing, you know, over time, we're getting better and better jumpers, and, you know, the riders are becoming more and more proficient. I don't think it's such a problem to, you know, put a bit more pressure on them and separate the good from the very best.
So this will change your game a little bit then. Talk about, you know, the mental approach to that, knowing that the time is going to be very different now, and it could be a difference between a placing.
Yeah, I mean, it could, but in the end, actually, it's a little bit less impactful. So there's a bit less pressure. You might be able to stay out in a turn and set your horse up a little bit more for a particular combination. And, you know, in the past, there was a definite advantage to being able to take maybe an inside turn somewhere, or, you know, just have a sort of continuing forward rhythm through the whole course. And that at the moment is not really such a skill set that's necessary at the moment.
So do you think that it's going to help riding?
My personal opinion? No, I don't think it will. Because I think anything that's going to reduce pressure then allows complacency. And I think if riders are sort of put to it and have to really work at it, they're only going to get better and better. People tend to rise to the pressure that's added, in my opinion.
You don't think that it's going to, and I think you touched on this a bit a moment ago, Doug, you know, make riders think a little bit more about the form and the roundness of the horse, giving them time to get a, you know, the round at that round shape that, you know, is better,
yeah,
obviously.
No,
to show German.
I do see the point. I mean, I do see your point for sure. Certainly it does, but I think in the end, the people or the, you know, you watch the very best show jumpers in the world, they can be very efficient, very quick, and also allow the horses to jump in the best shape possible. The shortcoming when they're time pressure, it tends to push people to maybe ride a little bit flatter and maybe end up having a hind rail. But I think then if they're consistently having a hind rail, they're going to figure out how best to allow their horse the time necessary at the jumps to create that shape that they really, really do need. And without the time, there's just a little less urgency, and I think it's a little less impactful.
Now, what about the coaching aspect of this, Doug? You know, knowing that this is going to influence the game a lot, you know, in a different way, does this
Sure.
change the way you coach?
No, I don't think so. I think in the end, I would tend to think, especially, say, with greener horses or riders, at the lower levels, I don't think the time should be that tight, and it historically hasn't been all that tight. I mean, you think basically prelim and down, it just isn't much of a consideration. And I think where this scoring change, and it'd be great to see the data after this year is over, but I would expect this changes the results at maybe intermediate and up more significantly. The lower levels, the time allowed is generally pretty soft, and so I don't know that it changes the scoring or the sport or the impact at that in the lower levels.
So when you mentioned earlier that you were seeing them change the time allowed, what levels was that at, Doug?
Yeah, that was sort of intermediate enough. We were, you know, they did it at Carolina. They did it at the Fork this year. Pine Top was pretty soft as well with their time given. But at both of the FEIs this spring that we've had so far, they've raised the time allowed.
And now you're
from what was posted on the map.
Right. Now, you're heading into Kentucky again next week. Talk about the impact that it might have there then, at that level.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. And what's really telling is you watch the first handful of horses that go in, because at Kentucky, the jumping is a little bit higher. The horse is probably a bit more tired, so that time can have a huge impact. And it will be very interesting how the jury and how the course designer approaches it and how they, you know, how they see fit what happens.
Well, we know that Richard Jeffrey is a master of course design, not least of all at the Land Rover event. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And he generally has it snug enough, you know, and I think it's he's got a very good feel for it. And so my hope is that the jury just leaves it as is.
All right. Well, we'll watch that with interest. Doug, any final thoughts on this, you know, because you're getting some experience of it now?
Yeah, sure. No, I think it's, you know, it's the sport is constantly changing and evolving, and people are trying to make the most of it. So I think it's, you know, it's always coming from a good place that tweaks are being made. And, you know, I think in the end, we'll have it all sorted out.
All right, super. Well, thanks for stopping by and taking the time to do this, Doug. I know you're in the middle of a show. And
no worries at all.
We will see you next week at Kentucky. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, thank you.
And that is our show for this week. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time when I'll be talking to the new national champion after the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event. Until then, don't forget to follow us on social media so you'll hear when each episode of the podcast drops. Just look for US Eventing on your social media feeds. And of course, check the website regularly for updates, where you'll find all the back catalogue of these episodes available online as well as in your podcast app. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.